Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 94 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. How are you? Better just check. It is 94, isn't it? We're on.
Yeah, 94, for sure. 94, well, 95, 93.
Right, yeah.
Nice. It's coming on.
Yeah.
So, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
23rd. Paul's multitasking, which means we've got limited charge on his brain.
Which is probably a good thing.
He can't sit still. He's like Mr. ADHD.
I do not have ADHD. I like to be productive.
So hopefully
this is your stuff anyway. I'm doing.
Is it?
Well, of course it is.
Well, I haven't given it to you yet.
Well, exactly. But you're going to want mine when, like, yeah, when you start moaning about it. You're going to. So I know you. You'll be taking this off me.
Well, I think the next event I'm going to is in November. So yeah, as long as you can get it done by then,
you'll be taking it off me before then. Don't worry.
Right. So we are going to talk a little bit today about the London GT.
Yes, we are. Because there is some interesting stuff to say. I have done some research. And yeah, like I can
research.
Present,
this is unlike you, Paul.
I can present a more balanced opinions because our opinions are a little skewed.
Did you see behind the curtain a little?
A bit too much, really. Okay,
that's good. And we're going to talk so a little bit about London GT. We recorded a couple of bits over the weekend as well. And we're also going to talk about some other stuff.
Yeah.
Mm. So what have you been doing in the... it's only been since Friday, so it's not a great deal. And most of it's the London GT.
Yeah, it's the London. I've done nothing but the... Yeah.
Nothing?
Well, no, is it... We obviously did the London GT, and there's nothing else to say, because it's so close to the day.
It is.
Yeah, had work on Monday. Oh, had a fucking mare of a shift on Monday.
You do realise that's because it's Monday.
And the thing is why don't management realise this? So anyway,
you cannot get a doctor's appointment on a Monday.
No, but
so where are people going to go?
Well,
they're going to die on the street or they're going to come to see Paul.
The problem on Monday wasn't, and this one wasn't because of patients, but the problems were our own creation. So I was put in the ambulance bay the whole day.
Right.
And it's like, fair enough, you know, but basically, they've changed the way we do triage. That they now want you to do everything at triage. So it means your own...
Everything?
It means I have to fill in the whole book, AD book, at triage, at point of entry.
Well, so you're not just putting majors, minors. Now you're doing everything.
I just do everything.
So now triage takes forever.
Yeah, it takes me at least 10 minutes to do one person.
That doesn't sound like triage anymore.
No, it's not. And that's exactly... Triage should be only what is needed.
It's put the black cross on or the red tick or red move them along.
And the thing is, I was like, well, I don't think it should be that way. So I did it the way I think is sensible. And I had... like, administrative action put against me, because I wasn't. I was like, oh, Paul, this audit shows you're not filling in the paperwork. And I was like, well, it's no need to do it here. And it's like, yeah, but now we are doing it, so sign this bit of paper to say you've been told off. So I'm like, right, okay, so I signed a bit of paper, you know, if that makes you happy. Yeah, but like...
Did it make them happy?
Oh, I don't know. But like, anyway, so, okay, I'll do the way...
You've been reprimanded.
I've been reprimanded. I'll do the way that I have to do it. And I pointed out this will result in problems. And then on Monday, we had flow, we had space, but we had five people turn up at once. Five ambulances turn up at once.
Of course you do.
And it takes me 10 minutes to do one.
So which one do you pick first?
Well, the first one in the door, obviously.
Well, I mean, so like, the other four die.
That's the thing. None of them had been red alerted, so none of them were expecting to go into resus. So it's like, and the moment they turned up, I rang majors and said, heads up, five have just turned up. This is going to take me time, you know, in this new system. And lo and behold, people were waiting, like, you know, getting close to an hour, like some to get in, because then more started arriving while those five were waiting. And we could have taken them in. We didn't have space.
Yeah.
But they were waiting because their single point of failure was me. Like, very much like the London GT doors bag checking.
Yeah, of course.
Like, it was me. It was like, I can't
do
this.
The bottleneck.
Yeah, I can't do this any quicker if you want me to do it properly. And because you've told me off, I have to do it properly, don't I? I can't, like, look the other way again because I've been reprimanded. So, and I'm telling the paramedics, this is the reason why you're waiting. and they're all just like rolling their eyes at it, and it's like,
so yeah, but this is probably in response for them saying they're just going to dump them in fucking A&E.
Literally, management come down and saying, oh, we're getting phone calls from East of England Amp Service over why these long delays are. And I said, well, that's your reasons why. There you go. Like, these people are waiting, not because we don't have space, because you're making me do paperwork. Yeah, you'd rather I did paperwork instead of bringing them in the hospital, basically. So, yeah, not impressed. It basically, it'll break, and then it will go back to doing it the sensible way. So,
it was obviously somebody's idea to change the system in some focus group.
I mean,
maybe it's Jeremy Hunt.
Yeah. when I next get the chance to see a matron, I will just say, this is what happened on Monday, and this is why it happened. I think we have a problem here that we should change. Go back to our original way, which was anything of, you know, if there's clinical need to do it, do it. If there's no, leave it for later because they need to get in the hospital.
Is it because of your new IT system you got to get? It came out of
some decision that the IT system you can make. It's a slow operating service. It doesn't, you know, it freezes a lot and crashes. So you have to, like, you can't be too fast with it. You have to nurse it through its steps.
Brilliant.
Yeah, you know, like, and
sounds fantastic.
Yeah, like, you can't double click something. It's like loading. You know, like, so you can learn to work with that, because you actually, like, going quickly with it doesn't help. You have to, you know, less haste, more speed, that kind of expression.
Brilliant.
You know, like, and but it's,
that sounds like 200 billion well spent.
But it's, what's annoying is that it's because we're not working sensibly, you know. So that's what's frustrating about that. It's just like, we're being dumb here, and this is causing an impact. And like, when
you should be quite used to that, though, as the army.
Well, but that's the thing. It's like, I am, but like, it's just frustrating because I still care, and that's the thing. It's like, why? And I said to myself, why am I getting bothered by this? Like, these people aren't going to die that they're going to wait an hour in that corridor unnecessarily.
Because they've got medics with them, paramedics.
Yeah. They're not going to get worse than they are already.
Well, somebody else could die because the paramedics are waiting in the corridor.
But how could you ever? Yeah, how would you ever know that? But like,
well, because there's no ambulance. But
like, why are we being stupid? You know, like, I just, you know. Anyway, that was Monday, and also I had a situation where, like, I was really like, well, that, I don't know what to do about this, but I'm hoping it never doesn't happen again. Basically, I had several patients come into ambulances who didn't need ambulances and could go sit in minors.
They came in on ambulances. Of course they did. Yeah.
So, and that's, and so
they stubbed their toe. Or...
Well, yeah, literally. Like, we have protocols and what we accept into minors and majors. And I rang up the majors coordinator with one of them, and I said, okay, this is what I've got. This patient should go into minors. And the major's coordinator refused to either said, that's your decision, Paul. I'm not accepting or denying the patient. So basically made, I make no decision. It is your decision.
Right, well.
And I was like, on the phone, I was like, well, why am I even calling you then? Like, I can't, like, this patient, I think, should be in minors. But I can't predict if they're going to keel over and die randomly in the next 5 minutes. That's impossible. So I was like, I can't put them in minors, can I, if you don't accept them? I was like, well, the safest thing is to put everyone in majors then. If you won't, basically,
what, an informed next of kin?
Yeah, yeah.
We just put them in majors. Yeah, no, 10 minutes left.
That's the thing. It's like, if you won't accept them because you won't take responsibility, that puts me in an impossible position. So I was like, well, I'm just going to guard my pin, aren't I? Just put everyone into majors. Because,
well, the consultant is not to you eventually.
But I was completely right. But because the person who's coordinating outranks me, so I just said, well, she outranks me. That's what. Well, they outrank me. That's their decision. I'm not going to go against it. Take it up with them, basically. You know, like.
the politics, the madness.
Well, it's this thing. It's another thing I'll have to say to the matrons. I'll say, look, we have. I was presented. This hadn't happened before. Like, but I was presented with this situation, and I'm like, it put me in an impossible position. So I put people who didn't need it into majors because I would be held responsible for them when I have no overview of them. It's like
a GP saying you're absolutely fine, you're walking out the door and dying.
Yeah.
In the lobby of the surgery. Because you didn't do your job.
When you hand over a patient, they've got to accept them. They don't accept them. You haven't handed them over. They're still your responsibility.
Yeah.
So I can't be triaging more ambulances while somebody sits in a waiting room who's technically my responsibility. No. I guess.
Brilliant.
I was like, well, this is impossible. So, yeah, there you go.
Happy day.
Hurry up and wait. yeah.
Oh, it was an exciting Monday. I didn't do much on Monday by comparison.
One of our club, though, was sick. Game was in A&E.
Well, try not to name them.
Yeah, yeah. But so I looked up. I mean, I checked in on them, and they were fine. They went home later that day.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. Yeah. Good for them. I'm glad they were better. Whoever that random person was. So, well, I played Magic on Monday. Magic's always good for. I like Magic.
Yeah.
Magic's good. And then I went to watch. We're going to talk about Infinity War.
Did you watch it Monday night?
I watched on Tuesday. I was one of those Billy fucking no mates that goes to the cinema on their own.
Yeah, during the day.
I don't mind it at all, man. I don't mind it at all. I've got big shoulders. I can take the... Ooh, look at that fella with no... He's got no friends. It was quite a quiet screening.
Yeah, well, it would be.
It would be at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, who else sees it? Yeah.
After it's already been out a month.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So big, big spoiler alert.
Yeah, so obviously, if you haven't seen Infinity War by now, well, I guess you're not going to, are you?
Like,
so
well, you're either not going to, or you definitely don't want to listen to the next 10 minutes. Because, we're going to talk about some motifs that will spoil the film for you. Mm-hmm. Like, big time Charlie Potato.
Okay.
Like, I wouldn't have liked to know what I'm going to say before I watch the film.
Well, that's your... Then we've given them warning. There you go.
Fair warning. Mm-hmm. Why so? Did you enjoy?
Yeah, no, I thought Infinity War was as good a movie as they could realistically make it, I think.
I thought there was quite a lot tried to be rammed in. And it felt a little bit like season 7 of Game of Thrones.
All right.
Where they were all trying to get that little bit of time and a little bit of speech.
There was a big ensemble, wasn't there?
Yeah, not everybody was there.
No, and even poor Hawkeye, fuck him.
Ant-Man, who are you?
Yeah, you're not important enough.
I was watching Doctor Strange with Jo last night, and she was going, well, if he's so important, Doctor Strange, how come he's only just arrived?
Yeah.
That's true. And I was watching Doctor Strange, how did he get that Infinity Stone?
I'm not sure. Was he giving it in a cutscene or something?
But I mean, he's like a noob, fresh in. Just look after the Infinity Stone, mate. Don't worry, well, you'll be all right.
Yeah. Maybe because he was all powerful, he was naturally gifted.
Mm-hmm. Naturally gifted. So, I was a bit worried. Like, I'm not worried, but I couldn't work out Thanos's like background. Why is it? Because he's like a big lump, isn't he? He's not like a normal sized person.
Well, they did go through Thanos's MO. Basically, he's from some alien race where he's like that's the size of them.
But there's only him left.
But is that because his planet, was overpopulated, used all the resources, and basically imploded, and crumbled and fell on itself. So in his eyes, by deleting half the universe, he's saving it.
He's like your. What do they call him? A Dutch uncle? Like a really strict parent figure? You're just children. You can't see the big picture.
Yeah.
You're just tied up in your own tiny world. I'm looking at the big picture omnipotently.
Yeah, exactly.
And half of you got to go, mate.
Yeah,
that's just the way it is. Half of you got to go.
If I delete half of you, there'll be enough resources left for the other half. And every so often, this will have to be done.
And he said, if I wasn't a parent, if I was like a politician, then... It would be me and my mates and people with money and wealth and influence who would survive the cull.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I ain't into all that. Yeah. I'm just going to completely randomly kill half of you. I don't care if you're...
Yeah.
I don't care if you're, like, what's this guy? Bill Gates. Or if you're, like, David Beckham.
Yeah,
or if you're... What was the guy on the wheelchair? The biggest brain in the history. Stephen Hawking. Whoever it is, 50% of you are gone.
Yep.
That's it. Just it. Boom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in that way, he was kind of... Not rational, but it was fair.
Yeah, obviously, he's the bad guy, but it's good when these films give some story to the bad. Well, if you compare it to the Justice League, where their bad guy was so badly written and done, it's like, who cares? Like, he's just, I'm just generically evil. And it's like, but Thanos, he actually had a point in terms of, a rather messed up euthanasia. But
what is the solution?
But that's the thing. It's like that. At least you could sympathise. Okay, I can see his point of view. I don't agree with it, but you can see his point of view.
Yeah, you could just find some way of artificially feeding people or whatever.
Rather
than killing them all.
Yeah, you're finding more resources if that's the thing. But anyway,
Why was he the only one left out of his family? Everybody else died.
They never said that.
Yeah, that was a bit weird. Yeah, nobody else.
They never said that. Maybe just because he was off having a pot noodle and a wank. Yeah, I don't know. He didn't need to say that bit. Basically, he just was himself. Yeah. But he was the best character in the movie.
Okay, and a big spoiler alert, he wins. And clicks his fingers and half the people go.
Yeah, exactly.
Which comes on to the next point. Like, so, during the movie...
Do you like it that he beat up Hulk?
He didn't just beat him up, he fucking creamed him.
Made him ashamed. Yeah.
It's we'll talk about that one.
Your favourite character.
Well, one Pussy of them, Whip. Certainly. Yeah, Pussy Whip. I think I like Banner more than Hulk. But I like the fact that So, going back to Game of Thrones...
Yeah.
When the body count started building, I was thinking, this is getting me.
It's
getting me.
Chucks Gamora off a cliff, casually. He actually does it.
Like, Loki gone.
Yeah, Loki, he strangles him.
Idris
yeah.
Elba gone.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was nothing. Like, that was nothing to him, yeah.
The Valkyrie, I don't know where she went, and the Rockman. They were quite good characters. Oh, you don't know
do
you?
I've seen edited highlights on YouTube, but they're not in it.
But then there was a tipping point where you kind of realised...
They probably got died in the ship.
The fucking ship blew up.
They're probably on the floor somewhere.
Because he said he killed half the ship, and then the fucking ship blew up. So they didn't kill half the ship, killed all the ship.
By
Hulk and Thor.
Mm-hmm.
So there came a tipping point when too many characters were dying. Especially at the end, obviously, where you get to the point where it's like...
No, I think it was good.
Well, it's not, because in Game of Thrones, they kill people, and you know, apart from one or two times, they're not coming back. Because there is no way back.
Yeah.
But here, that they've gone so far that the only way forward is to rewind it.
Yeah, but they have time travel in it.
But they don't anymore. They lost that ability.
But if it exists, then nothing's permanent. Like, when he clicks his fingers and you see the half that are left, they're like the old franchise. So they'll be in the last movie, and in the last movie something will happen. Like, they'll rework time. The ones that he clicked are the future. Like, there'll be other Marvel movies about them.
No, I'm sure we're going to have to rewind it. I'm sure the vast majority, if not all, of the people that have died won't be dead.
Oh, yeah, no, none of them will be. It'll be the ones that the ones that disappeared at the end, the ones that he clicked and they faded, they are the future franchise.
Well, I don't know if it's click or that.
I think it is,
Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think which were the ones that you saw survive.
No, I'm not talking about ones he killed... Like, the ones he killed before then, like Strange, like...
I'm pretty sure Gamora's coming back,
sure. Yeah, but, they are... They're, 50-50... They're, I don't know if they're going to come back. But, the ones who drifted away are coming back. That's what I think.
Because, well, they have to.
Because all they have to do is get the Time Stone. All they have to go is go back, I don't know, to that day.
Because,
do it again.
I'm pretty sure Black Panther 2 and Spider-Man 2 are being filmed.
Yeah, they're going to be filmed.
They're being filmed. So it's like, they're fucking coming back. I don't know how that fits in this timeline.
Or they're set beforehand.
Well, I'm not sure Spider-Man can be set beforehand. Anyway, so that was a bit weird. I think they pushed it too far. I suppose when he clicked his fingers, they had to remove half of them.
Yeah. I mean, it was shocking, wasn't it? It was like a good end to the movie. It was just like, wow. But when Thor's rammed his axe into him, and he just looks at him and goes, you should have aimed for the head. It's good. I liked it. It was strong. I like it when bad guys win.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man was going, that was quite
Spider-Man. He gave a good death. Yeah, he was like, oh, Mr. Stark, I'm scared. It's like my pseudo-dad. And Stark's like, oh, I fucked up.
He's been in a lot of movies, man. I was trying to think how many movies Iron Man's been in.
He's been in ridiculous. Well, he's tired.
Ridiculous amount of movies. Yeah. I think there have been 18 movies, Marvel movies, and I think he might have been in 12 of them.
Oh, something like that. He's just tired of it,
I'm tired of him, to be honest.
He does a good Iron Man.
I said there are other characters that are more Iron Man than Iron Man now. They're funnier than Iron Man. More sarcastic than Iron Man.
And Hulk got beat up.
Hulk got beat up badly.
Badly.
Got his arse whooped.
Yeah.
And now he can't get it up.
Now he can't get it up. After 2 years of having a raging hard on, he can't get it up.
No, he can't get it up anymore. It's that funny. Was really funny. Hulk impotence. Because right at the beginning, when you first introduced yourself to the Hulk, he said your secret was.
Yeah. He's always angry.
Always angry. No, he can't get angry. He's never angry.
Yeah.
Sounds brilliant. I thought that was really cool, that bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then We have the ego clashes, which I think was probably my favourite bit of the film.
Oh, what? Chris Pratt, sorry, Star-Lord and
Thor was probably the best.
Star-Lord and Thor, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, when Thor first arrived.
Yeah, yeah, they're kind of fighting over the same girl.
Whose ship is this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
we've just eaten the food.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going here. Yeah. Rabbit, get the ship.
Yeah,
going
Rabbit,
here.
Get
the ship. He's a real man. And what's his face? Drax. He's so funny.
Yeah.
Look at this man god. Against your flabby Star Lord.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good. And also, like, I was worried about how they go forward now. You reckon they'll just mess around with the timeline, say, like, so here's Black Panther 2, but it's somewhere between Black Panther 1 and Infinity Wars. Because he's obviously gone.
Yeah, yeah, and, or something. Like, if when a movie makes as much money as Black Panther has made, you make more of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lots more of it.
Who gives a shit about the timeline? And they have the ultimate Get Out is because there's a time stone. And it's like, and Doctor Strange says he looked at 14 million possibilities. And there's one that does it.
Which is the one he's doing. Yeah, that's the one.
And that means he has to give him the time stone. He has to die. And it's like, it was a great scene of them like trying to get the glove off. That was cool. And they were almost there.
How sad, wasn't it?
And they're like, she's controlling his mind a bit. And they're all like pulling at the glove. And they're like, we've almost got this thing. And then fucking Star-Lord spoons it. Yeah, and like, rolls at one. And it's just like, oh, all you have to...
He's just bonehead.
Yeah, just like, oh, you idiot, Star-Lord. And it's like, it's all your fault. But then, if he was still alive, you'd be like, oh, what a twat. But he got deleted as well, so...
Well, that's obviously not going to stay permanent, either, because that franchise is insanely popular.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this was basically... You could have said it was Guardians of the Galaxy 3, in a sense. Like, it was more that than
Well, did you see Avengers. Your Peter Dinklage as the dwarf?
Yeah.
Giant dwarf.
Giant dwarf. It's like, okay.
No hands.
I mean, I bet you, when they cut and they said, we need a dwarf, and let's get Peter Dinklage, because there's only one dwarf in Hollywood. And I bet you that was his deal, was like, I'm a dwarf, but I'm 30 feet tall. Like, is it like, I am dwarf, but I'm a giant. Like, I bet you that was his, oh, well, I won't do it. And they just had to make it work. Like, I think so. Yeah. I think that's... Because I think in a flashback of one of the Thors, they imply the dwarves are not bigger than, like, they are half-sized people.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and I bet you that was...
Okay, well,
I bet you that was Dinklage's deal-breaker. It's like... Cause
he's certainly a big lad.
Yeah, but because he's probably typecast the whole market in terms of, like, well, who else are you going to cast? Who's a bigger dwarf right now in Hollywood?
No, he's a big dwarf.
Yeah, yeah. There's only one, isn't there? And that's the guy who was Willow, like, and he was in Star Wars.
Well, you got the Hobbits, they were quite small.
No, but he's actually a dwarf actor.
Yeah.
I forget his name. Yeah, like he played Willow, he was in the suit in like R2-D2.
Oh, okay, yeah. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, but you would recognise him. but he's old.
Dead now, I think.
No, he's alive.
I think so.
No.
Unless C-3PO was one of those two is dead.
Yeah, C-3PO, I think.
Okay. Well, I think it's the other one, but anyway. So I think my favourite character in the whole thing was probably Thor. I think he was consistently the funniest and kind of...
Yeah.
Although, when he came down on the Bifrost and just... He could have just done all that on his own, mate. I don't quite know why they hung about, because he was in the...
Yeah.
I mean, he's wiping out bucketfuls.
Yeah. I did like the fact that he didn't have an eye... And he gets an eye from the rabbit.
Yeah.
And as he's putting it in his head, the rabbit says, I'd have washed that first because I had to smuggle it out with one of my hats.
It was an amazing film. I mean, I'll probably have to watch it again to even get my head around it.
The thing is they are a victim of their own success. So in the sense that... The Avengers movies have all been so epic, and this continues to be the most epic one because the implications are massive. Then the next Marvel movie is what? Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck about that?
Well, it's Deadpool, isn't it?
Yeah, well, no, Deadpool's like something else entirely.
But it's there.
Yeah, but
it's in the same universe.
Is it? Is it really? Well, it's
getting. I'm sure it is.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Whatever. But like, I don't really see it as the same universe. But like, what I'm saying is Ant-Man and Wasp. Whatever that is about, I couldn't care. I won't watch it. And I was in like, so it's going to be some guy who steals something.
You're not seeing Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Ant-Man's good.
Yeah, but it's not going to, like, the same with, I don't know, like, when they're so big, like, the other little movies seem really little.
You know when you said, like, The Hobbit's not great, but at least it's perfectly watchable, and you'd like them to be 9 hours of The Hobbit rather than one 3-hour movie?
Yeah.
Well, that's how I feel about the Marvels. They're all good,
mm-hmm.
Well, obviously some are way better than others, but Ant-Man was perfectly cool. I enjoyed it quite a lot. Yeah. He's a good character. What was my last point? Now that I've forgotten it. So, when they eventually get the gauntlet off Thanos, which is going to happen, because Thanos is finished now, his arc's done. He's on the beach. He's on the beach, relaxing, chillaxing. So I don't even think he minds if he dies now. That's him.
No, he's achieved his aim.
So he's going to have to give the gauntlet to somebody, and then somebody's going to have to pay the Soul Stone price. So who's that going to be? Put your money on it. Who's going to? I think it's going to be one of Captain America and Iron Man. One of them's going to wear it, and the other one's going to have to go in the bin.
Yeah, that would fit, wouldn't it? Because both those characters, actors, want to leave. So this is the last movie of that's going to, and it's set part the second one is going to have the last movie of America as that person playing that character. As in
Captain America?
Captain America. Yeah, he wants to go.
Oh man, he's good. Captain
America. He's good, but he wants to leave. And so
it could be him.
And Downey Jr. They'll be sacrificed to the altar. They'll be burned to the drowned god or whatever.
One of them will have to kill the other one, and then the other one will just obviously hang up his boots.
Well, just I don't know, kill himself or something.
That's what I predict. And also, right at the end was apparently some little tip-off that there's some Captain Marvel coming or something.
Yeah, Captain
Marvel. I don't even know who Captain Marvel is.
Marvel, set in the 90s. She's very powerful.
She wasn't a woman, was she?
She was a woman. Yeah, she's a woman. I don't know much about her. She's very, there's never been a movie about her before.
Is she the Wonder Woman of the Marvel universe?
Yeah, basically. So it's like, I'd watch that one because that's set apart, like in a sense, time frame, years before. Let's see, it'll need a good trailer from me to watch it.
Okay, good. So anyway, we've spent about 10 minutes talking about that. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. And please watch Thor Ragnarok at some point. I'll have to buy the DVD.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
So it's Sunday the 20th, about... 8:30, is it?
8:20.
8:20. Shit, I feel bad today, man. I must have drank a lot last night. I don't remember drinking a lot, but I think I must have. I had 3 beers in the curry and 1 before, and I don't know if we had 2 afterwards. And
yeah, it sounds about right, yeah.
And they were quite strong, wasn't they? Yeah. Oh, man. What a lightweight. Anyway, so I was so beer powered up that I missed the last bus and walked home. That's like 3/4 of an hour walk. But
boom. Didn't even sober up.
I didn't. Yeah. Had a shit night. So I'm glad I'm not in contention. Spoiler alert, I'm not in contention in day 2 because you've got to win all 4 games and I didn't win game 2. So how did the event go from your point of view, Paul?
Well, I mean, there's a lot to say. So
started well.
clearly mistakes were made overall. But I would say...
Not necessarily by you.
Not by me. I think we, as a group, did a very good job of salvaging it, actually. I think we're the exception to the rule.
So, we knew that there was going to be bag searches.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they're expecting to find apart from little plastic models. Men, but... So everybody had to be bag searched, but the venue didn't open until 9:15, and the event started at 10.
Yeah.
And when we turned up, there was a single guy searching bags.
Oh, yeah.
And it was 800 long.
Yeah. We literally walked past as it opened, and it was just like one person. what are they thinking?
So they did obviously ramp it up, but it took till maybe 11 to get everybody in.
Yeah.
And the events were supposed to start at 10.
Yeah.
It's like,
and people haven't even registered, so it's like...
Or found anything, or fucking... It was bad.
Yeah.
And the venue itself was a bit wonky, because I was expecting, like, exhibition halls, but not so much. We're in a cafeteria.
We got the best place.
Which is quite nice.
It's well lit.
And all the other tables are on just like a concourse, which is just like where you mill around and buy drinks and food on a football ground.
Yeah.
The kind of bit that goes around the outside on the ground floor.
Yeah.
Weird.
Mm. So we lucked out with the room, which was,
great, you know, considering. Because you're like, I mean, like, this is all right. And then you see the other rooms, you're like, this is really the better room. Yeah, the 40k pay clays were crammed in together.
Ah, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw some miserable examples of games in that room.
Yeah, definitely.
Jesus wept.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, Nate, if you haven't seen the true monstrosity that's 40k now, that game is rabidly popular.
Yep.
Like, you could have. There were five times as many people playing 40k as everything else added together.
I think so.
There were millions of them.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even just the competitive, there was like some narrative fucking craziness.
Yeah.
Oh, man. 40k.
Mm-hmm.
Back as the money machine GW always needed.
Yeah.
So. Well, round one. We did the draw live on the last podcast, which was good.
Yeah, we did, and that kind of worked. So people knew who they were playing first round. we had a late entry. Again, you know, organisers could have told me, but never mind.
He came in through the organisers.
Yeah, but I never knew. Like, I never know. Poor Deckman.
He became player 17, which totally fucked the event over because we couldn't do
five rounds. Yeah, and I was like, well, we can't do five rounds because of our late start. So we're luckily, that's the thing, it's like, luckily, okay, it doesn't matter that we're starting so late in the day, we'll just do two and it's easy. But and then Declan like pops up and says, oh, hi, I've dropped from the AOS event like earlier because I have to, because he can't, like his lifts were in our event. And it made total sense, but it's like, I'm here to play Warmaster. And it's like, it kind of screws us. But luckily, we've come, and actually today is even better because, so what he did is he played me casually twice, and today we've had a drop due to a family sickness. Andreas guy.
I didn't even meet him.
Yeah, well, you won't now.
Shit.
So Declan can take his spot, so it's fine. Yeah.
Happy. Well, not happy days. Yeah. Not happy days for Andreas, obviously, but happy days for Declan.
Mm-hmm.
Into tournament time. Round one was a good old, what did you call it? I can't remember. You made a random name. Battle Line.
I don't know where that came from.
So round one, we're playing Battle Line. So what the fuck is Battle Line?
Pitch Bell. Whoops.
And I was playing Christopher.
Yep.
And it was a jolly, nice, well-tempered game. Everything lovely. He was a bit stretched for command, which can happen with Dark Elves.
Yep.
And obviously I've got like a very big army, so he's trying to take all my army on across the whole board rather than maybe focusing on one area.
Mm-hmm.
It was a ridiculously one-sided affair where I managed to maybe get five raised dead. Including three in a turn. I apologised and then I had to go get a shower after that game. Three in a turn, you're not winning when you've got...
No, I mean, I dare anybody in that situation. Like, if you play against Tomb Kings or Vampire Council, they've got 3-4 units, they probably won.
Because the thing about, even though they've got slightly better infantry, it's not that good, the infantry. It's reasonable. It's better than Tomb Kings, but when you go in, they go in mob. They don't go in like a unit at a time. You end up absolutely fucking surrounding them on all sides and then raised dead in the back, and it's like, ugh. Yeah, so you got
bad news bears.
So that was a bit of a one-sided effort. So I think that was a 10-0.
Yep.
And the only other 10-0s was Janus, of course.
I felt a bit sorry for that lad. But never mind. It's the draw. What can I do? You know.
Well, you're gonna make him grudge match. So anyway, round two. I'm sat on table one, playing Phil, OG Phil.
Yep.
Who's playing Chaos and he won his first game, obviously.
Yeah.
And Janus is playing Stuart. Stuart.
Mm-hmm. Over a 6 cold one night Dark Elf list.
Oh, that's the spice.
That's
the spice. So this is Paul's
meeting engagement.
Random deployment.
Yep.
Shenanigans.
Yep.
So obviously dwarves, they don't scout, so they just give up that role.
Yeah.
So Janus has got to deploy his whole army, and then Stuart gets to do his army.
So Janus broke his army into 5 brigades.
As you would,
which is expectable.
And then you've got like 3 areas they can go in.
Yep.
And I said to Stuart, you know, like, this is one of the rare opportunities where Janus won't be able to castle up because his stuff will be scattered all over the fucking board.
And you can overrun him with Cold One Knights.
Overrun him, like, pick him apart.
Yeah.
What does Janus do?
Yeah.
He rolls five.
The same result.
Yeah, 5 times, and puts his whole army in a castle in the corner.
In a corner.
In a castle. And you go like, it's better to be lucky than good.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
if you're both, then you're both, the world's
then,
in trouble.
Then you're the goat. Like,
so it turned out his deployment was absolutely perfect.
I took a picture of it. It was fantastic. I was just like, you couldn't have picked it better.
Yeah. So Stuart had to kind of foot slug his way
across
the...
Yeah, because his army's broken up.
Yeah. Like... and try and mount their concerted...
getting around the flanks of this dwarf castle. Like...
I think it went quite close, to be fair. Mm-hmm. But not close enough.
No.
But was that a 10-6?
It was, yeah.
10-6. And me against Phil, I had a similar... So I was deploying my brigades, and it was working quite similar to Channa. So it was like first unit of chaff, because I've got like four brigades of chaff at first, and then that's it's in the middle square, and then the next one's in the middle square, and the next one's in the middle square, and the next one's in the middle square. So we've got 16 units all in a big block of chaff.
I took a photo of that too.
And then I rolled for my Black Knights and my Grave Guard, and they were in another quarter miles away. And it's like, oh dear.
Oh dear.
Oh dear, dear, dear. And then Phil deploys his army.
Yeah.
Which is just chock full of chaos. I think he had 6 Chaos Warriors, 2 Spore, chariots, and some chaff to hide.
Rock hard.
It was like really low break, but not that low, maybe 9. Jesus, it was hard to fight. And then he got first turn. I was oh my God.
Oh dear.
So he went into one of my first brigade, which was in the wood, slaughtered them.
Slaughtered it easy.
In a fucking wood.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And then backed off to form a perfect line with no damage.
Yep, no
and
damage.
Like, shit.
See that? Do it again.
So I spent my first turn trying to reverse away from him to make And then the story of the game was I was trying to not let him kill enough chaff. To break me, because obviously his Chaos Warriors go through. Zombies were ridiculous, how many wounds they would generate. I was losing combats like by 24.
Why'd you take so many zombies, Barry?
I don't think skeletons would have done much.
Yeah, not much.
But I did manage to kill the Marauders and the Harpies, like soft stuff that I could get to.
Yeah.
Marauders, Harpies. And then I got in. I got his chariots eventually over time.
Yeah.
Ethereal Host and ghouls did good work against chariots.
Yeah.
Especially with the raised dead in the back.
Yeah.
And so we got the 3 chariots. We got the two, whatever they call. What they call marauders.
Marauder.
We got the the birds.
Yeah. Harpies.
Shipbirds. Like my shipbirds.
Yeah.
And then it came down to I had a chance to get at his dogs, which are obviously miles away. Miles away. So I sent my Black Knights all the way through to try and get his dogs. And we had a general on a 9-8 to put them in. No, a hero on an 8-7 to put them in. Failed.
Yep.
Then a general I had a 9-8-6 to get one unit in. Failed.
Yep.
And then I had 3 goes at magic to get the Van Hels.
Yeah, an extra movement.
And we got one unit in. And that unit killed what it faced, but because it was touching the corner of another unit, that was the same combat.
Same combat.
And, it left one wound on the one unit.
Yep.
So the next round of combat, I had to still fight that unit that I was touching. And I couldn't kill the other unit, and that was the end of the game. Because he still had all his fucking Chaos Warriors facing off against my chaff. And he I think he needed like 3 break, and it's like all I had left was chaff.
Yeah, easy to catch.
I did as much as I could. The break 14 helped, man.
Yeah.
Just kind of feeding him stuff and trying to you eat this brigade this turn. This whole brigade.
Kill that, right, and I'll be over here.
trying to
rework.
Not fighting the Chaos Warriors at all. There's no point. I've got not even my Black Knights can't do it.
No.
Because they go in, they do a reasonable amount of damage, but probably not much more than they're taking back.
Yeah.
But lose to combat res. And then next turn get swallowed up.
Yep. Oh dear. So it's cool. Well done, Phil, basically.
Well done, Phil.
Well done, Phil.
I couldn't have played any better. I could have deployed better.
Yeah.
But that random deployment kind of did for me.
Yeah.
So,
And
then I played as well as I could and he won. So well done, Phil.
Well done, Phil. Yeah.
He's now, for his penance, got to place Lord Janeway in the one that I think he'll struggle with most.
The objectives?
The objectives, because he has to come out and contest these things. He can't just sit back, can he?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're just going to pick up Phil. So we might do a little section when he comes in.
So basically, the 4 winners so far are Janna's Jim.
Jim the Gent. Janna's the Goat.
Janna's the Goat. A guy called Tony Hazel. And our Phil.
So,
Phil's been to the finals before.
Yeah, yeah. Phil's Chaos, Tony's Lizardman, Janice is Dwarves, and Jim the Gent is the Kislev Firepower demo. He loves that Kislev army.
Mm. I mean, that's probably, on paper, probably the weakest army of those four.
I think so, yeah, definitely.
Well, we will see.
Yeah, yeah.
But Jim's a good player, so Jim's playing Tony,
yep.
Janice against Phil,
yep.
And that'll be round three.
Yeah.
And the two that go on will contest the final, and that's it.
Yep, yep.
This system works really well.
Yep.
You win.
Yep.
If you lose, like I am now, I'm a chump.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Well, you could get second.
Like, it's like, I ain't worried about it.
Yeah, yeah. There's only one winner.
There's like winner, first loser, second loser, third loser. So I get to be relaxed today.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't really get to do much yesterday. I didn't get to see the event, take photos. Has he seen us?
I don't know. You carry on talking, bro.
I'm not going to do a monologue, but... we've done a little bit this morning. I'll try and do a little bit more this evening, and we'll try and do some kind of episode later. Hopefully we're not too near to the fans, although I can see that it is near the fans a little bit, so hopefully it's not too bad audio wise. So speak to you later.
I need you to come pick me up, alright? I got bit by fucking disease, dog, god damn it.
Okay, so we're on the way home now. What time is it, Paul?
It is 7:30.
7:30. It's been a fucking long day.
Yeah, well, it will happen, but you don't have to do it every weekend, do you?
Massive, thank Christ. So the getting in the place was really good this morning.
Yeah. I guess we'd turn up a bit later, though.
Well, I certainly did. I was in a bad state. I had to find something to eat and drink before we I couldn't eat till about 10 o'clock this morning, and then I had to eat because I knew I had to, like, I had to not be sick. A bit too much excess last night, but it was a lot of fun.
But the excess was fun at the time.
It was. I, when it's a one day event, you can kind of do as much excess as you want
because
I can have a quiet Sunday. Mm-hmm. Well, so round one, did we say? Well, everybody knew the draw anyway. So Phil was playing Janice.
Yep.
And I was playing Stuart. So Phil, who we've just dropped off, was on Chaos, and Janice was on his dwarfs.
Dirty dwarves.
And it was
a great hope. Phil was a great hope.
Although the scenario had changed quite a lot.
Exactly.
The last time I played.
Yeah.
Because it's come out of the compendium.
Yep.
And the fact that you could actually choose where all the objectives were, and they didn't scatter.
Yep.
Made it a lot more kind of static than the other game, because there was no centre thing to fight over.
I think having seen it gone through, I think we should play it where you do as a scoring system. I thought hypothetically, okay, so we took away breaking an army, and it simply it'd be first to 10 points, because all the other scenarios tend to finish with 10 points.
They do, except for this one.
So it's a first to 10 points, but we do it as you're scoring points cumulatively on those objectives every turn that you're holding them. And then
maybe not your home one.
That's that one can only be scored because that makes you have to come out. But that might work quite well. We'll have to try it.
Yeah, I mean, it was extraordinarily punishing for like Bretonian armies.
Yeah,
because everything that you needed to score was potentially going in woods and stuff.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, I mean, you would place two each. So
I think we used to place five.
Yeah, in our one we had five. We had one set centre, and then you'd place two each as well.
And then they scatter.
Yeah.
So it was slightly different. I'd feel he tried his best. Love him, but the goat took him down.
Ultimately, Janice is like, he just doesn't make mistakes, doesn't he?
So Janice won 5-2, and also Gentleman Jim won in the other semi-final and left the final everybody knew may be coming, Jim against Janice. And then we'll talk about that in a minute on round four. My game was against Stuart, who did the most ballsy manoeuvre I've ever seen in a game of Warmaster.
All right.
So he got first turn, I think. Yeah, he got first turn. And he put three units of Cold Ones on three orders to go and charge me. And he got two orders off, which left him pretty close to my lines.
Yeah.
Obviously, because he's made three orders. And he then... So he's failed the order, and he's not very far from my lines. More than 20, less than 30, obviously. Yeah, yeah. And then he puts his two flying characters in that brigade.
Interesting.
So he knows he's going to get charged, potentially, and puts the characters in.
Yeah.
Now, we're talking about a Dark Elf army here, so you've not got a lot of leadership spare.
No. If, and, he, and the fact that he's chasing two manticores is an interesting build.
Yeah, it's certainly aggressive. And no scepter, so yep. there's no protection against blunders.
Yeah.
And so that obviously is like way too tempting a target for me to pass up. So we put four units of black knights.
Black knights.
Into the front of them, and that's on a 9-8 from the general, so that's pretty easy.
Yep.
And then we ring a magic erase dead in the back.
Yep.
And then that's it. They're all gone.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't take much. With the black, we put the black coach as well in, so that's changing the combat math.
Yeah.
We're not suffering terror in return because we're all dead.
Yep.
But his stuff that doesn't have the manticores is suffering terror.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then he loses a massive chunk of his army because I think his break is like 7 or something, or 8 or something. So he's lost a massive chunk and most of his command. And he fought really hard, as like the general with leadership 10 can do. And the game was relatively close towards the end, but there was no way he could come back from the first turn. Because by the end of my first turn, he'd lost an absolute butt ton of like 390 points of units and, my God, about 400 points in characters.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a ridiculous amount of points.
And had he done any damage much in return? Like he lost some knights at all?
I think I may have lost one stand.
Yeah, so barely anything.
Barely anything. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because the way we're setting up is like they're terrified and they've got something in their back. It's just ridiculous.
That beats you, basically.
Yeah. You're not rolling any dice.
Yeah.
So that was me. I won. I think 5-0. Janice won 5-2. And then we're off to the final. You want to talk about the final because I was playing.
Luckily, one of our players, the one that Janice had played in the first round, Andreas, was his wife wasn't well, so he couldn't attend. So basically, Declan, who had we had a spare player, and I was free then to not have to play, which was perfect. Actually, that couldn't have gone any better. So I actually chilled out and watched most of the final, apart from going off and answering the rules questions that came up. And yeah, it was a good game. It was so to Jim's credit, Jim played it very tight, as well as I think he came with. Obviously, had a plan. He had to not. It was Kislev versus dwarves. So Jim had to first of all take away the artillery of the dwarves, and he kept at it. Like, he used his cavalry very well, single bullets, single unit to attack these, to storm down these artillery brigade. And but when it mattered, Janus just is lucky as well.
It's better be lucky than good. And if you're both, God help everybody else.
Like in one situation, I remember watching like a unit of Kislev wing lancers has charged in, taken damage from a flame cannon. Lost a stand. Puts three hits on a unit of cannons. Janus makes two sixes, and so thus the thing he needed to drop to start, because that's grinding his army, threatening his army, he just missed basically. But it got very tight Jim had taken Janus' artillery brigade and slayers. They're in a situation where they had two break left each.
Yeah.
But obviously, dwarves are harder than Kislevs as a standard. So, like, the advantage was slightly to Janus there. But Janus has got most, all infantry and not a hell of a lot of rangers. So, and he's got to try and track, get over the board to get the last two off Jim. And it resulted, and also, Janus was running out of time on his clock.
Yeah.
So he attempted assaults on the war wagons, the Lagard war wagons, which are really good. Had them swarmed, big old combat going on, which he didn't manage to in two rounds to kill the wagons. He wasn't going to lose the combat, but he didn't manage to kill them. Because they don't move. They're like a bit like steam tanks. And in comes. Jim tries to save the day by charging then into the rear and flank of these dwarves that are fighting. Janus has chosen to keep locked in because he only needs two casualties, which could be those two war wagons. Jim sends in his last cavalry, which is horse archers, and they bounce. They get bounced.
Bounce from the back. That's not great.
Janus won the game with 2 seconds left.
Two seconds.
Two seconds.
And the way our clock system works is if you run out of clock, you lose.
Yes.
No matter what the board state is.
What I did in previous rounds, because there was time, is that I rather than going, okay, that's it, dice down, I let them finish the turn they were on, and then the opponent could take another, like, use his time if he wanted to. But really, it doesn't really matter. Even in that sense, they've lost anyway. The person who's run out of time has lost, because it doesn't take a genius to realise, well, when the opponent can't take another turn, you could just, you know, you don't have to do anything. But that's the point of the clock system. So he did it with 2 seconds left.
That's why he's the GOAT.
That's why he's the GOAT. And now,
so what did he win?
Okay, so he took the pick of the prize support that he wanted, because, you know, and he could have had more, but he decided to leave more of it to others. So he won, you know, models, you know, 10 mil models that he won. He chose that he out of a pool of 4 companies he wanted. I gave him a little Spellcrow tower that was for him, and then he also won a huge KR case, which was double the size of anything we've ever gotten before, so could technically hold 4 War Master armies.
And rulebooks and all that.
Yeah, and he got a medal, you know, like a London Grand Tournament medal, and he actually won a replica sword, like
quite a big looking,
quite a big looking thing as well. So that's what Jan has won.
And then I think Paul's going to put up the results, but the way we did it, the way Paul chose to do it, is like we tied first and second place into the final game.
Yes.
So the people that were 3-0 going into the last round, they finished first or second, depending on who won that
because
match.
Because personally, if you lose the final and then you end up placing sixth,
which can well happen,
like also lower down, it doesn't seem right.
Yeah, it's not right. It's not right. So and then I think Tony fit? No, it was Paul.
No, it was Paul. Godbold.
With High Elves. Who finished third.
And 3 wins and the most victory points.
Because he managed a 10-0 on the one that was really hard to get 10-0.
Yeah, exactly.
The one with the objectives. So well played him.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was a good turnout, 14 players. I'm probably not going to have time to discuss
16 players.
16 players. My game 4 at this point, but when we record the next podcast, I'll remember to talk about my game against Chris Brown.
Chaos.
He had a really meaty break 7 Chaos Army.
Yeah, 4 units of Chaos Knights.
Just the 4 units of Chaos
Knights. Just 4 units.
4.
200 points each.
I'll tell you what, man. When you're throwing 200 point units in against 30 point units, you
they
can
win.
See the difference. They can eat a brigade and come out and just reset the wounds, and they've taken nothing.
Yeah.
And that happened many times.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I don't think we're going to have time to go through that. So we'll have to talk about that in when we do our proper podcast later.
Yeah, exactly. And overall, hot off the press, I think the event went really well. Like, yes, there was clearly issues.
I'm not sure the event went really well.
The event did not go really well. But it's not, who are we to criticise? But what we managed to salvage are part of it. You know, and I have messaged the guy saying, if it's such a thing that happens again, we would like to be involved. Yeah, it's all good.
It was nice to get a discounted rate as well. And a big oldsters we are.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we took a nice group photo at the end, you know, like of our event and stuff, and it's a nice group of people.
It's a very mature crowd.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
Okay, all right, so that's our wrap up. I will, as I say, I'll make sure I talk to Chris, because we had some good fun playing the game. Yeah. I'll make sure we'll talk about our game in our main podcast, okay?
Hey, man. You seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man, I'm jonesing.
Quit your jibber jabber, fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
So we're just got in the car on Sunday. We ran out of time because I was nearly home and I hadn't discussed my game versus Chris.
Right.
So that was round 4. We discussed Janice and Jim's final and the miracle, whatever, the 2 second miracle.
2 second. Well, I'd let him finish that turn. I mean,
well,
like,
you shouldn't have. Because you've given him, he doesn't need any help.
Because I'd already made that decision earlier in the tournament.
That's
so
a wrong decision. What is the point in having a death clock and then not enforcing it?
Well, because I didn't need to. I mean, the death clock was there to make 3 games happen in round day 1. That was why it was there. Okay,
so we're not using death clocks in future?
It depends on how if we could. Like, basically, when players, like,
even though you tell them beforehand, when that clock runs out of time, you lose. They don't like it. They're like, they feel sad. Like, you know, and so
in one of my, at least one of my games, somebody said, "Should we deploy off the clock?" I said, "No." Why would I deploy off the clock? That's the whole point of the fact that it's stop trying to take things off the clock. The clock never stops.
Yeah, exactly.
The way a death clock works is the only reason that clock stops is if a judge comes over and stops the clock.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody else you got, stops the clock.
That's to say, like, see, but you and me have grown up, you know, I've had lots of experience of using it in war machine events
and lots of other events, but yeah. I wish more systems would use it. I have
stuff to say about that. I mean, once you talked about your fourth game, are we doing a wrap up of thoughts
because you've got to give your feedback, that
is very exclusively probably going to be heard on here,
pertinent,
yeah. But so what I'm just saying is that when it happened on the first time in round one, And it was Paul. The two Pauls were playing each other, and the Paul that had run out of time, like, it was all sad. That, like,
was this the Paul that finished third?
No, that was the guy who was playing. Paul H. Yeah, Paul H.
Paul the vampire player.
Yes, yeah. He'd run out of time. Okay, the first turn. So first game, and
well, he's played in quite a few of our events.
Yeah, but give me those puppy dog eyes, you know, like, and I looked at the overall, like, we had plenty of time of that day, so I said, okay, so this is what we'll do, is you can finish the turn, and Paul, your opponent gets a chance to play his turn, you know, but he won't.
Well, I'm not sure about any of this, no, Paul, what the fuck,
but it doesn't matter,
you've gone to Jim's system, or it's even softer than Jim's system, because it's not even a soft clock anymore.
But it won't matter, like, because
you're taking another 20 minutes.
What, but when you run out, I mean, if we were trying to fit three games in that day, it would have been.
It's not just about fitting three games.
No, but that's why you do it. Yeah, that's why you do it. Like if you have to fit X amount in, then you need that enforcement.
Right.
And like, it's like when I said to Jim and Alex for the final, I said, you have to start your game by two. Okay, I'd like you to start it beforehand, but you must start it by two.
Well, okay.
But yeah, because then
we see things differently.
Yeah, we do, but that's, you know. Well, then there was
it certainly is.
Yeah, like,
we shouldn't have had clocks because the clocks are meaningless.
No, they were needed. They were needed.
Well, you only enforced it once, and then you changed your mind.
No. It made games end. Yes, and it made people play quicker. Okay, so they were needed.
Mm. Okay, well, so my game, I had a very friendly game against mm-hmm. Chris, and he was the second time in the weekend I was playing against Chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've discovered, Chaos.
Chaos and the new hotness.
Well, I don't mind the new hotness, but they certainly give skeletons and zombies a good kick in.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular build, he had four Chaos Knights.
Mm.
Now that is next
as
level.
That's a spicy meatball.
I mean, he didn't run them as a brigade, he ran them as two mini brigades of death.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all you need to, isn't it?
But they really give.
What are four units of Chaos Warriors going to kill that two can't?
Chaos Knights.
Chaos Knights, yeah. when do you need the extra 400 points?
I don't know. I mean, when you like, you got an entire brigade of skeletons is what 140 points.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not even.
And they go up against 800 points worth of Chaos Knights.
Well, they only went against 400. Oh man. Man. And then he had a couple of Chaos Warriors. He had four Marauders, and they were built interestingly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those little brigades. A couple of fell. What do they call them in those? Harpies. And then he was a bit character heavy, I felt.
Mm-hmm.
But so he had no terrifying mounts, but he had two heroes, two wizards, and a general. That's quite a lot of five. I can't, apart from stuff like goblins and maybe lizards, I'm not sure I ever run that many characters.
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah, if every character you're running, you're obviously taking less other stuff. But he went first and pushed forward and then turned to he hit me. And then I spent the entire game trying to get out of basically my deployment zone.
Yeah.
So there was Chaos Knights just smashing into me. And slowly over about six turns, I managed to force my way out.
Yeah.
And gradually grind away his stuff. Because having an army built like that means your break is 7. Now, my break's 14, so I can trade off 2 for 1.
Yep.
And then I'm getting some raised dead, so I think I've got 2 or 3 raised dead. So I've got, my break is effectively 17. Because obviously raised deads, you put them in front of the Chaos Knights, they have to charge that, or they have to order to try and go round. Yeah. Which isn't easy on a hero, because you've got to go, like, maybe 7-6 to go round the raised dead that are stood like a centimetre in front of you.
Yeah, definitely. So
I managed to pick off, slowly pick off his chaff. Mm-hmm. So I managed to get one of the harpies and managed to get both dogs. But then we're into the stuff I've got to try and get stuff that's like hard to get. So the only way I managed to win this game was by getting Black Coach and Black Knights into the flank of Chaos Knights, like one unit at a time, and just pick them off slowly. So I was like killing a unit a turn, and in return he was killing like four units a turn.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Minimum.
That's the trait. But you've got to not think of it as number of units, you've got to think of it as points.
Yeah, yeah, so I was still up. I was getting one unit of Black Chaos Knights, which is 200. Yeah. He was getting an entire brigade. And over, I'll tell you who did overperform, the Ethereal Host in most games.
Yeah.
Because people think, I've got to get rid of them, and then they charge into them, and they've got terror, and they seem to survive a lot longer than you'd expect.
They've got no armour.
No armour?
They have, Ethereal Host has no armour. They've got four hits, and they've got no armour.
I think the Revolution thing might be wrong then, because I'm pretty sure it says six of armour on the Revolution thing. Well, you can say no. You can say no all your life.
What armour are they wearing? They're ghosts.
Spectral armour.
Or have you just played it wrong?
No, that was on the sheet. I didn't bring the book with me. I brought the printout. You check the printout. I blame the event organiser.
Oh, you just so
look at the Revolution list. Go on, do it, sir. So in the end, I managed to grind him out. Although it was a very, very entertaining game.
Yeah.
Very aggressive. That's how you like to play. With you're obviously playing Chaos Warriors. There's no other way.
Yeah.
I'm just going to shove this down your throat and then see if you can swallow it. Luckily, I managed to swallow it. So when Paul's looked up and seen that I'm absolutely right, and on the Revolution, it does say six up armour, because obviously I wouldn't have made it up. They've got four hits, though.
Yeah, they've got four hits, but they don't know. Well, anyway, it's loading up right now.
Loading. Yeah. And then Paul's going to give you his insight into what went well and what went badly. So I'll finish off and say, I think it was good.
They do have armour.
Oh, really? I'm not making it up. I don't know if they do have armour or if they have armour in the Revolution and it's wrong.
We can look.
So, it was good that you tied in first and second place into the final game.
Yeah, that was a better way to do it.
That's how it will be. In your events.
Yeah.
That's not normally how it works in Swiss, but it does feel bad.
No, they haven't changed, Barry. They've always had armour.
Oh, really? So I'm right?
Yeah.
Oh, well done, me. So, it feels really shit when you go to the final and you lose the final and end up sixth. And you go, like, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
It was me or in for the win, sixth.
I totally agree with you. Everybody agreed that was a better way.
Because you've got to go in with three wins.
Yeah. And I was like, I think that's... As I run events, it'll be random Swiss final is first and second. That's how. I mean, there's a point. Like already, I'll evolve Winter Roller like to reflect that. Like for the next event, that's how I'll write it into the tournament pack.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I need to change one of the scenarios. We need to try a different. We need to retry the take and hold scenario a bit differently. We need to play test it.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in my event in total, I went 3-1, which is pretty good. And the one I lost was against Phil O'G Phil. Mm-hmm. And that was real close.
Yeah.
That was real close.
Good result.
Well, but then I finished 5th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is how it works sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because our tiebreakers were based on your
tournament points.
Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah.
The game I lost, I mustn't have scored enough points in. I still scored 6, but for some reason.
Yeah.
I need to rework
the points as well. I think for regular game, I need to make the boundaries of points further. I think there was too many tens. Like I need to push it so you have to get more points to score.
You see, the other thing I was saying about the clocks is if the games you enforce the clock on, that's a 10-0.
Yeah.
And the games you don't enforce the clock on might not be a 10-0. Might be nowhere near a 10-0. Might be like a. I don't know. Might not even be a 10-6. Might be a 10-2.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might be a 6-2 or something. Who knows? But the 10-0 for the clock is really harsh.
What if the opponent just gets 10 and the dice down the the winner gets 10 and the dice down the opponent can get the points that they're on.
Don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's my feeling. So it was a good event, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed playing vampires. They were quite forgiving. Decent army. They don't like fighting chaos, although I did manage to get one of the two wins out of chaos.
What does like fighting chaos?
cannons.
Bat likes fighting cannons.
Although, on the flip side, I'm not sure my vampire cat army would have had the tools to kill Janners in a pitched battle.
Dwarves don't like terror.
Well, you've got to get to the fucking thing. He ain't coming to me.
Yeah, no, never.
And he's gonna bunker up.
Yeah.
And I've got the ethereal host to try and dig him out. Yeah. But it ain't easy. It ain't easy.
Was that the door? Right, pause it a sec.
Oh, man, another. Paul's hearing things. The spectral, spectral legion are banging his doors. Perfectly fine tournament, sir. Do you know if it's always going to be FA Cup weekend?
No. Right, okay, so... Have we recorded yet any... Because I watched most of the final. Have we recorded any thoughts about that?
Yeah, on the car on the way
home.
We
did record.
Okay, that's so... how you told them about the 2 seconds.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But if it is FA Cup final weekend, then I can't come next weekend. Next year.
Well, then no, I mean... Okay,
I'm just telling you now.
Okay,
well, I've got an alternative plan. It's my 30th anniversary of being a freshman, and I've got to go back to university.
Oh, fair enough. Weekend. Right. Well, I mean, it's. I mean, we should. No, it's. It could be any date because it won't be the same venue.
Oh, we're sure
about
that.
Yeah. So
well, that's probably sensible.
To the event overall. Now, obviously, are we recording anything else? Is the podcast?
This is it, and then we'll wrap up.
So I have a bit of time. Right. Okay. So basically, we as Warmaster players, I would say basically salvaged our event. So sadly, we were promised scenery for the tables.
Well, I can see some scenery here.
But we didn't get it.
No.
Yeah, like, so we didn't get anything.
We didn't get no scenery.
We didn't get any scenery, and we didn't even, and I have to be honest, some of the mats... We
didn't even get tables.
We had to find our own table space, and the mats we got, some were way too futuristic, so actually, it was better to turn them over, so they were plain black, which is...
Well, they weren't very nice to play on.
They held models at least. You know? Anyway, so that wasn't great, but we salvaged it because we cut our little niche of tables that we needed all together, and we had brought enough scenery as players, which I'd asked players to do, to provide to run the event. And there was not tables that were light on scenery. We had enough, which was great, and they had credit to all the players of the group. And I got to say, just right there right now, we have a really nice bunch of players for the little Warmaster crowd there.
We do.
Because including all the guys, that people that couldn't make it, they're all nice players. It's just, if you're a nice guy, play Warmaster. There was not one person in that event I would not have back, you know? Like, as in, and there was loads of people who I'd like to have come along who couldn't make it. So... Have you met a Warmaster player?
I wouldn't say I'm too... Yeah. What's that?
Have you met a Warmaster player you'd rather not, ever turn up?
No. Well, I've discussed players I wouldn't want to play off the clock.
Oh, right, okay. Mm-hmm. Now apparently the clock's
flexible. But anyway, in the same way as I don't play Blood Bowl, because unless Blood Bowl's played on the clock, I've got no fucking interest in it.
No, that's fair enough, yeah.
I have a life to live.
Okay, so... we have a skewed view of what went down over the weekend, because clearly mistakes were made in the event. Like, it was not supposed to take an hour plus to get in the door on Saturday.
Way more than an hour.
Way more than an hour. Yeah, because they wanted to check bags. And
well, that was a fallacy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They weren't really checking anything.
No, I mean, my bag had tons of clocks in it. And, like, what are clocks also used for, like, in bombs and time? As in, like, I was like, my one looks pretty... Must be the most dodgiest bag I'm bringing in here, because it's not models, it's loads of clocks. And it's like, but not a question was asked, about it.
They just had to go through the process. Yeah. They weren't looking for anything doing anything.
Yeah, yeah, like, literally.
They just had to be seen to do it.
If I had an Acme bomb in there with bomb written on the side...
what's this?
Oh, it's just a bit of scenery.
There you go.
Is it like, what? I mean, they didn't even look at, all my stuff. Yeah, so... And apparently they dropped some people's bags.
Oh, my God.
They didn't make the seals correct, and people's models fell out, including some who were trying to go for best painted whatever.
Oh, my God.
Damage getting in.
Oh, my God.
So that's not good. But obviously, we're small fry. We're only 16 players.
16.
Compared to over 400 of 40K.
Just in one event. There were multiple events.
Yeah. So, with what, you know, it doesn't really matter what our opinion is because we don't bring anything to it. You know,
it's while, negligible.
While the, I mean, we were the biggest. No, blood. If Blood Bowl was, if you count Blood Bowl as a specialist game, that was the biggest.
Most people were.
Yeah, yeah.
But, 80.
Yeah, well, is it separate? Aim,
no, 80 people. That's who they had.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, but like in the venue we in the space we were at, like you know all the like you know like the ginger stepchild, you know like games.
It was a nice place to be.
It was the best room. It was well lit and spacious. The 40k players were crammed in together.
Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah, you know, like really like
horrible.
And I've seen some of them moan that, oh, I've got back problems now and blah blah blah. And it's just
back
like
problems.
Well from like you know, whatever, like yeah, you know, they're not very robust people clearly at the best of times and they're just like fishing for, you know, something. Mm-hmm. I was like, well,
go see your GP.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, don't have a go at the organiser. Like, you know, it's like, what do you want him to do? Like, anyway, if it runs again, no, it will run again.
Will it?
Yeah, it will. But it won't be at the Olympic Stadium.
It really wasn't suitable. There was no event space.
No, not for, you know, not for the 40k players, no. If we'd been stuck downstairs, we might have had a very different story.
Where was the event space? That's what I was saying on the way in. And the fact was, there wasn't any.
There wasn't any.
Basically, around the bottom of football stadiums, it's like a concourse where you buy drinks and go for a piss.
Yeah, and you walk to your stand.
Yeah, and you walk to your stand. And that's where they played.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In that concourse. Yeah. In that dark, dingy, airless.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
just nasty.
Concrete.
Like, and they were crammed into it as well.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Really, like back to back. You know, Phil came back and told me, because I knew a couple of people played in it, said that you couldn't stand back to back with someone. Like, you know, if you're playing your game, your person behind you, you'd be in each other's way. So you had
to, that's
like,
dreadful. So you can't even move along the table.
No, like in some bits of it, you couldn't move along the table. So, like, all you had to, like, oh, can I just get to my end of the table while interrupt somebody else's game? You know, it's like, that's how tight in they were. And the Blood Bowl players were literally playing on bar tops. Like, you know, like, just enough space to put the table.
Yeah, no room for a drink or anything.
Just a ball.
I'm not even sure there must have been our dugout, maybe.
We were somewhere. Like,
but I couldn't even see dugouts.
Yeah,
it's like,
so
oh, man.
They were crammed in. You know, they have to cater to the most, by far, the biggest breadwinner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's been a lot of 40K, negative comments made about it, you know, from attendees and from people who've seen pictures, you know, like...
Because that tournament alone, so 400 players, 40 quid a pop.
Well, it's more than 400, but yeah.
No,
but they were 50 quid a ticket.
50 quid a ticket, 40
players. Well, I think you're counting then the £10 convention fee.
But that's irrelevant. You can't get...
You can't get one without the other.
Yeah, so that's 20 grand. From 40k players,
yeah, yeah.
20,000.
I mean, exactly. It's like they so.
I, pounds, if, 20,000 pounds.
If it will run again, and if we're invited, we will of course like go to it because I said to over the curry we're having, I said to like Jim the gent, I was like, what do you think, Jim? Like, do you think because what we got out of that we could replicate anywhere? And he's like, yeah, but we should be part of it because being London and big, you know, big titles attracted people.
Yeah, I'm not sure. For our, what do we put in? £30 a head, and there were 14 of us.
Yeah, no, 16 of us.
So what's that, like 500?
Yeah.
I'm not sure we could have got a venue in that level of price support for 500.
No, well, no,
two-day venue is expensive.
Yeah, I know that, but like what I'm saying...
So for our £500, we got a decent deal.
Yeah, we got a decent deal out of it, but it's like, also, your internationals are not going to travel to go to the Chelmsford World War Master Tournament, but they would go to the London one, because it's a big name.
Okay.
It's a draw.
Maybe you need to get more than four rounds then if we're going to call it the World Championship.
Well, I did not choose that name.
No.
But I'm happy to say
even
that...
the Super Bowl's 32 teams.
But I'm happy to say that Jadders is world champion. Like, but it's good that we didn't, because we didn't have time on the first day to do it, because of our late start. It allowed us to be the relaxed tournament that everybody wanted to be.
Yeah, yeah,
we were the only one that could be. We were like, oh, it doesn't matter. We're not doing three games today.
The craziest thing... Mm-hmm. Is that you've got a 400-player tournament. I can't do the math on the Swiss.
Yeah.
But I would guess you're looking at 10 or 11 rounds, just off the top of my head.
I'm not sure.
It's certainly going to be more than 8 for 400 players.
So
if you are only running 5 rounds, mm-hmm. you're going to have, like, 40 players or 30 players with 5 wins. Who are you going to decide who's won?
I don't know. Well, they had points for painting and they had points for sportsmanship.
Right.
But I don't think that was well communicated because some people never voted on the sportsmanship rewards, for example. Like they never submitted their votes. So they had to run the 40K event off a dedicated app, which is fine if you could get it. But, like, again, it's assuming that everybody was updating and reading this app. So, like, I hear that people were getting really, like, couldn't find their tables, you know, like... Because when you're table, like, 250 whatever, there's no numbers anywhere. It's like, how do they find their right tables? You know, so it's like...
Yeah. Right, I'm going to do the math. So I'll just do a bit of math. So how would you do tiebreakers when there are so many people on the same number of wins?
I don't know, but I am... But also, the thing I will say about it all, it's very easy to criticise, but it's very hard to create in life. So, as much as everyone who wants to, like, criticise, what event have you run? Like, you know, so it's like, if people say, oh, I went in this event and I was really disappointed because the scenery was bad and the event was crammed. I mean, yeah, that is all a given. Like, they've admitted the scenery quality was not good. They mishandled it.
They did.
They understand that people were cramped in and that wasn't the idea.
Yeah, you know, that's like, true.
So, but you run your own event and, you know, have an opinion. You know, like, it's not easy. And, you know, sort of hats off to the organisers of it. I think, you know, they did that, you know, they did the best they could, I think. Like, I'm a bit more forgiving, basically. You know, but then again, I almost said, well, we had a successful showing. Like, we were in a nice room and we salvaged it. If we were downstairs, we might have had a very different opinion about it. And that was just pure luck of where we were put.
Yeah. You know? So I did the math. You'd need to, for 512, you need 9 rounds. So that would have to be a 3-day event to get anywhere near.
Yeah, well, I think their other deciders were, you know, these soft scores.
Which people hate. Tournament players hate soft scores.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, speaking about the tournament, so while we were playing, this is quite interesting, while we were doing our fifth round, our fourth round, last round, the organiser came up to me and said that, asked if he could borrow a chess clock. Because the 40K final, so obviously the biggest event...
How could they have a final? How did they know
they
had a final?
You know, like, and that was being filmed in the war, which we were next to the Warhammer TV area, which had encroached in our space.
So this is GW's Warhammer TV, yeah?
Yes, yeah.
And so, it's filming it live, streaming live.
Yeah, so one of them had accused the other of slow play.
Brilliant, in the game.
And to solve it, they asked me... He asked me if he could borrow a chess clock.
Right.
So I asked our bottom table, which, you know, didn't matter much, and I said, guys, do you mind if they borrow this? Which they said yes, and I showed him how to work it twice. You know, like, and they put their final went on a chess.
It sounds like you were organising that event as well.
And I was like, and I was just like, wow, this is very interesting considering the controversy of the recent Warhammer Fest 40K final, where the person slow played his way to a win.
Right.
Yeah, but even
well, did he slow play his way to the win? Maybe he just had a fucking enormous army.
He did that, which allowed him to try to get away with.
But there's no turn limits in this game, so how can you enforce a turn limit in a final when there hasn't been any turn limits?
Well, they did. That's what they. So they, look,
Mark, you've got like an army that's got like 4 models. Takes you like 3 seconds to move them. Yeah. I've got an army that's got 400 models.
So they did it. They took the time. They took the clock, and I set it up so it was like one of ours, like 1 hour and 15 each. And they put it, and that was interesting. Now, I don't watch much Warhammer TV. I'm certainly not interested in watching a streamed 40K game. But if I don't think you can see the,
did they have any terrain on the table?
They had a really nice table. There.
Did they? Okay. Yeah, we brought that, didn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but like, that looked really nice. But yeah, there you go. So
again, that's just shit to change the rules of the game during the final.
And who influenced it? We did. Plucky little Warmaster, the only event there that had chess clocks.
And then chose not to use them.
It didn't matter. Like, you know, I've told you my reasons why.
Okay.
Yeah, like, it did. You know.
So, I mean, I'm sure the orc player would have been said, now you've run out of time, you can still finish the turn, even if it takes you another hour, yeah?
Well,
you can have another turn, mate.
Yeah, but I think well, I don't know what they would have done then. I mean,
what would happen if you run out of time? You say you lose now.
I don't know. like,
did they even understand what a chess
yeah,
block is?
Well, exactly. I mean, like, they've probably never played on one before. But it was quite funny.
Well, it's very funny to put that into a final, halfway, midway in the final, we're going to introduce a chess clock. Yeah. Hello. Have you seen my army list? It's built to abuse the fact that...
Yeah, I'm built to abuse this rule, these unclear grey areas. Yeah. Like, I win by not having to play the game.
To be fair, that's how most tournaments are won.
Yeah,
by people...
Not having to play it.
Yeah, or choosing to break a rule or push a rule.
Yeah, well, there you go. Gamers need boundaries. So essentially, the main two areas of concern were obviously the terrible quality of scenery and the fact that, you know, it took so long to get in the place on the first day.
So long.
And it was just like, it was destined to fail, that was. Like, when they opened the doors and one person came out to check bags. And they found more people to check bags, but they didn't start with ready to go. Like, at 9:15, they didn't have a team of 20 bag checkers. One person came out and started checking bags.
On Sunday, it was much...
And Sunday, they squared it away. Obviously, they'd like, we need to adjust.
Again, because, like, you could see there are things that either they've done on a much smaller scale or they've never come across before.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do a prize award ceremony
with
1,000 players or whatever, and you're trying to do it in a room that can hold, like, 40 players?
With
no PA?
Luckily, most of them had left.
There was, like, a big raffle for painted stuff that Paul had bought some...
No, I hadn't bought tickets.
Oh, not you.
I
bought tickets for, and it's supposed to be at 4:30.
Yeah, it never happened.
And we were still there. I don't even know what happened.
It did kind of happen. I mean, I did listen out for his tickets. He never got them called. But
they call it. How did you?
You had to be close enough to the mic to hear the tickets being called.
Because the guy who was using the mic had obviously never used mics before because he was holding it too near.
Yeah.
And if you hold the mic too near, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah,
it was the biggest fucking shambles of an award ceremony I've ever seen.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally. And it was
like
it was cut
ridiculous.
Short, like because it started within a process and it was clearly going to take way too long. You know, because who out of these rabid 40k players, who of them is going to give a damn about listening to our War Master event? None of them. Like, yeah,
nobody,
exactly. Like, it's like, and our winners have even left. Like, they're not even here.
You do what a shambles
going
to be.
Clearly going to be it, yeah. And anyway, but me and Steve, the guy who ran the Epic one, who was asked to run the Epic one, we stuck together, we queued up, and we claimed what was promised us. For from the big boxes of unopened prize support that was there.
And they were awesome. The prizes were off the chart.
I mean, sitting behind Barry right now is a bag that's probably worth about 90 quid.
Yeah, KR bag. And there's
a sword. I don't know where that sword came from, but I was just given it.
China, probably.
But just given it. A medal for Janna's as well. Like some painting
stuff.
You've
got two swords here already.
Well, that's mine already.
Yeah, okay.
But I might use that as the next prize support, I suppose.
Two swords.
Yeah, have the Staff of Saruman.
I take one sword into this tower.
Exactly.
But I can take two swords.
So, it was. So, in the sense that for there, I had to fight for it, but I got the prize support. Yeah, I got
given it. Definitely over delivered on the prize support and the goodie bags and stuff.
So it's I shouldn't have had to fight for it, but I did get it. So I'm forgiving because I did get the thing. I did get the stuff. So it would have been nice to if I got it before the end of the day or something, or I could have given it to Janna's at that moment. But you know, I've got it. He will get it. That's that.
I mean. If they run again, and by the
they are running again.
What I will tell you is it will probably have to move to a hotel type venue where they can support. In the same way that SmogeCon and BonesCon and all that have to develop all the time. And they are phenomenally expensive because you're competing against people who are having weddings and stuff with big pockets and you need big spaces. But that's what you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
And if it means that you have to pay a little bit more to go to the event, then maybe that's what it is.
I mean, we shall see. But I mean, it's. You forget how many people play 40k.
I don't.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's like, there's so many of them that even if all these ones were scarred, there'll be others. There'll be more. Like, who would play in an event. Yeah, like... Say if half the people that went to this 40k event were scarred never to return, there'll be more. They'll be replaced. Yeah. Yeah, it's so. It's just the numbers of it are just so much bigger than
everything else. You can have it, every in that world.
Not, obviously, not magic. Not you know, like, but like in terms of a war game, it's the king. Like,
well, X-Wing possibly could have pushed it. But I think they might have gone down the rabbit hole.
They just dropped the ball. Like,
Well, they've done it, haven't they? They've gone as far as they could go. They so could, now, how do we get more money out of this game?
Yeah.
We've got to reboot it.
And so you have
play
to,
for
and
free.
So, and so you have to use the cards, the rebooted cards.
Ha ha!
Gotcha. We get more money out of that tip there. Like,
and yeah, I mean, we saw what happened with War Machine. I mean,
the difference with that is 40k players expect that to be abused
every 4 years.
Every 4 years. First time for X-Wing. We'll see if it survives.
What do you mean they change?
Yeah, it's the first time. But this is the first time X-Wing is rebooted.
Yeah.
So all those X-Wing players, some who maybe never played something else. This is new ground.
The only war game that ever said it was never going to reboot or change
was War Master.
It was War Machine.
War Machine. Yeah.
It was only ever going to be one edition.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Well, they lied through their teeth there, didn't
they? Did, yeah. Until the second edition, it all went tits up.
Yeah.
When you knew this was how it was and there's nothing going to change, then they had to test the living shit out of something before they released it into the open. And it was only right at the end of Mark 1 where stuff started getting really wonky.
Yeah, and you go,
you're... Yeah, yeah. Well, and then you knew something was coming.
Yeah.
And then they said, yeah, here it is, Mark 2. And then from that point, you're doomed.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you can reboot every 3-4 years, I mean, even 40K, I've only put my toes in, and they've still had...
Yeah.
They've had a lot out of me.
Yeah.
Without even trying.
They stabbed those toes, didn't they?
They probably had maybe, like, a couple of hundred in miniatures and another 100 in rules out of me, without even trying.
Yeah, without even trying. Just like,
So easy for them.
So easy for them.
So easy.
So easy.
It's so easy. They don't even break a sweat, GW.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. But they do the best gear. And if you want to play we've said millions of times, if you want to, I played a new guy a couple of weeks ago. That would never happen in another game system.
Which is
at 40k.
The new guy says,
I'm new to the club. Who wants a game? He says, oh yeah, I'll give you a game for 40k.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you're not going to say, oh, I'll give you a game of War Master. He says, what the fuck is
that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, who are you, granddad? Like,
go back and play your Napoleon.
Get out of the room.
Well, brilliant. All right. Okay. So you're going to do next year?
Oh yeah, no. It will run again, and if we're invited, like, because they might downscale and only be back to like what it was. I don't know.
Which was what?
Well, like they only had 3 game systems the year before, or, like 2 game systems. A year.
I didn't see any Lord of the Rings.
No, actually, that's even deader than us. Like, that's well dead. Yeah. If we're invited back, of course we will. That would be. We don't need to sell many tickets.
I will cap it at 60.
Yeah, I will. If I'm running it, it's going to be 16.
Well, I'll run it then.
Yeah, you run it.
We'll have a professionally run tournament.
A professionally run tournament?
With 30 players.
I get to play in.
Well, you're playing, yeah.
Okay, that'd be nice.
You have to do the January one. I did the January one.
So I have to do this one and the next one as well.
I did the January one, didn't I?
But I've just done this one! How can it be my turn twice?
Well, I have to do both of them next year. No. I'll do the January. You do the January one. That's easy.
Oh, yeah. I don't get to play in it. Well, I'm going to play in it.
I'll just play in it. Do the rules questions. Do the recording. Yeah. Get the lunch.
Yeah, get the lunch.
Because there's no lunch now. There's quite a lot to do. Oh. Anyway. Right, good. So, that was episode, what were we on now? 94.
94.
Yeah. You can contact us on the Facebook page or warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com.
Yep.
That was episode 94. Paul and Barry.
Thanks for listening.
Next week we're doing we're going to do Bretonnian army review.
Yeah, because there's nothing else to get in our way.
No. Yep. And then other stuff like H. After that, we'll have to play a game for that one. Yep. So Bretonnians. So God wills it next week.
God wills it.
Would you like to know more?